side of your bulletin. It'll be Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, or you can follow along on the screen with me. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let's welcome Pastor Chris Liu, and his message today is Spiritual Gifts of Leading.
Thanks, Bing. All right. Good morning, everyone. We are glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. We're going to get this set up right away. So hopefully this passage, for those of you who have been coming to our English service for the past couple months, this passage would be pretty familiar because we've read it a bunch of different times. And we have been going through these different spiritual gifts found here in Romans. And so the big thing that we've been kind of encouraging you guys, the reason why we've been going through this sermon series, Pastor Tim and I, is to challenge you guys to not just know, again, what the spiritual gifts are, not just this head knowledge, but to actually use them, right? That's what the passage says, that each one of you has been gifted with something. God has given you guys something that you can use to build up his church, to build up his people, and for you guys to put those things to practice. And so we're going through these spiritual gifts and trying to teach you guys what they are, but also hopefully encourage you guys to be living that out, to actually put those things into practice. And so a quick kind of recap of the spiritual gifts that we've gone through. The first one is prophecy, and Pastor Tim encouraged us, challenged us, that our prophet, someone who has this gift, is someone who looks at the world and sees what's kind of going on out there and calls our attention to that. So those with the spiritual gift of prophecy have a big heart, I think, for the world, the concerns, and kind of encouraging the church, the members, to say, hey, you know, it's not just about what we're doing here, not just to come and fellowship and have fun, but hey, let's go into the world, let's get involved with what God is already doing in the world out there. The next week we talked about is service, and I preached on this one, and talked about the heart of a servant. And those with the spiritual gift of service love to get involved in different places, different areas of ministry. They get things done. These are the people who are often behind the scenes, oftentimes not always recognized, but they serve passionately with their whole heart, and they get things done. And we're so thankful for those who have a heart, who have this gift of service. The following week, we talked about a gift of the teaching. And this is being able to bring insight from God's word to light, right? People who can be able to take this passage that we're going through and be able to teach it to people so that they understand it, so that they can apply it to their lives. And we also talked about, Pastor Tim reminded us, that it's not just about teaching, but also having a heart to willing to learn as well. So hopefully we have that we're learning, and we're also, what we're learning, we're teaching others as well. 2 weeks ago, I preached on the gift of exhortation, or the gift of encouragement. And these are people who are really excited to move the church, to move people. They encourage people to live passionately for God. They go and they kind of stir up people's faith. That's kind of the analogy that we saw. So there's these people who have this gift, who always see what God is doing around them in their lives, and they're always really excited that, hey, God is doing this, and they share it, and they get people excited to want to live out their faith as well. And so we're very thankful for those who have that gift. And then last week, again, Pastor Tim preached on the gift of giving, a spiritual gift of giving, and people who are very generous with what they have, their time, their energy, their lives, not to boast or anything like that, but because they see the needs, they see, you know, what is out there, and they're just really generous with what they have. And so again, very thankful for those of you guys who have this gift, this generous gift of giving. And so, again, all these gifts that we're talking about is an encouragement to that one isn't better than the other. One isn't, better than the other. But they're all useful. They're all needed. They're all a part of what God has given us. And so, again, the challenge, encouragement, use these gifts. Okay, whatever God has given you guys, has blessed you with, to put those gifts into practice. Use those gifts. All right? So today, again, we're going to talk about the gift of leading. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pray one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you that you have called us into ministry to serve you, to serve your people. It's a great honor, it's a great joy to be able to do this. It's a great calling that you have given us. And so we pray that we would really, again, use these gifts that you have given us, that we would, put them into practice so that we can build up your church, that we can build up your people here. And so as we go into this next one about leading, we pray that you would help us to see what this is, to learn about it, and to be able to, again, live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I preached on the gift of service, and I said that it's not a quote-unquote sexy gift, right? People usually don't pray for the gift of service, right? They don't be like, yeah, well, I wish I can serve more, right, or have the gift of serving. Because oftentimes, again, it's not recognized, it's behind the scenes. It's a lot of hard work. It's the ones who are doing a lot of the serving, right? And so it's not easy. And so a lot of times people don't want it. Whereas today's the gift of leadership or leading, this is a quote-unquote sexy gift, right? People like this one, I think, more so. They wish to be leaders, right? People like to kind of be there because the perception is, right, that leaders are in charge. They're the ones that are in the forefront. They are recognized. But again, they're all really important, right? Service, leadership, all these different gifts are important. One isn't greater than the other. But there have been lots and lots of books written about leadership, right? If you guys think about it, not just like in the corporate world, and also about biblical leadership. There's a lot of articles, and if you go on the internet and just search for leadership, there'll be a lot of things that will pop up, links that will pop up about how to become a leader, what it takes to be a leader, all these different things. So there's a lot of ways that I could go kind of explaining this gift. But what I'm going to do is I'm basing this one off of a study that that my small group did when I was at EFC East Valley. We went through this study called Images of Leadership. It's by InterVarsity. And they had 9 different types of leaders or images of leaders. And we're going to look at these 9 different images of leaders. I'm not going to go into depth into each one of them because each one could be a sermon on its own and this message will go too long. And at the same time, I recognize that, it's a lot that you guys are going to receive, okay? 9 things is a lot to hear. Usually, pastors try to limit their points to 3 points, right? Because that's about the capacity that people can remember. But 9 is a lot, and I know, so it's kind of like drinking out of a fire hose. I'm just going to kind of give you guys a lot of these things. But hopefully, as you guys listen to these different types of leaders, you're like, okay, God doesn't just use leaders in one way. He uses leaders in a lot of different ways, and there's a lot of different ways that you guys can lead, and perhaps you guys have leadership qualities, this gift of leading that you didn't know you had, but you're like, oh, okay, I always thought a leader was just this one way, but no, there's a lot of different ways that God can use you and use you to lead others. And so we're going to go through these 9, okay? And so gear up, get ready, and here we go. Okay, so the first one is a leader in a shepherd. A leader as a shepherd, a shepherd leader. And we see this in a lot of different ways. Oh, yeah, really quick. One of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you guys what the leadership is, and then I'll give you guys a biblical kind of model of who kind of represents that. We'll look at a passage, and then hopefully kind of apply that to our own lives or kind of see that in our lives, okay? So the first one, again, is a shepherd leader. And the person who, obviously, I think matches this one the most is Jesus, right? He himself calls himself the good shepherd, right? He's the one who goes and calls and leads these people, brings people. He's the one who goes out and is a good shepherd. And so we see Jesus as that. But it's not just limited to Jesus. If we look at this passage here in Ezekiel, this is an interesting one. And Ezekiel 34, 1 to 6, and this is what it says. I'll read it for you guys. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with the force of harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep are scattered, they wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep are scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. So here, God is telling Ezekiel, hey, prophesy against leaders, the Israel leaders, who are called to be shepherds, and they are not doing what shepherds are supposed to be doing. Okay, so if you guys kind of look at it, what is a shepherd to do? It's everything that they did not do, right? And so if we kind of break it down, here's kind of six things, right? They feed the sheep, right? So they're the ones who kind of care for the sheep, strengthen the weak, they heal them, they bandage up the wounds, they heal the weak, they go and seek the lost ones, and they love their sheep. If you guys think about this, I think this is a really kind of matches the, if you think about a pastor, right? If you think of a pastor as somebody who really cares for people, and that's kind of what this quality of a shepherd leader is. Someone who really has a heart for God's people, right? They see the needs, they see the congregation or the flock, the people, and they're like, man, I see your needs, I want to help you out, I want to care for you. Those who are hurt, you know, come and let me you know, encourage you. If you're sick, you know, I'm going to go visit you. And these are the heart leaders who have this heart, a shepherd's heart. And so perhaps for you guys can kind of think about it for yourself and like, yeah, you know, that's me. I really have a heart for people. Right, you know, I see their needs. When people are hurting, I'm there beside them, and I can encourage them kind of in this way. And maybe you have a shepherd's heart, a shepherd's leadership skill, to be able to lead people in this way, to really care for people. Okay, so that's kind of the first one. The first one is a shepherd leader, someone who cares for, who loves God's people, kind of takes care of them. Okay, that's what a shepherd leader is. The second one is a servant. Okay, as a servant leader. And we sang a song today about Jesus being also a humble king who came to earth and, you know, to serve. And again, so the example that we would give, right, is Jesus. Jesus is a servant leader as well. He's the one, if you guys remember, right, would get down on his knees. He humbled himself to wash his disciples' feet, right? And he got down and dirty. If you guys know those back in the days, they were walking around everywhere, right, for the disciples, and they had sandals, they didn't have shoes, and it was dirty, there's dirt, you know, animals were going, just doing their thing on the streets, and so your feet are really dirty, and so that job was meant for a servant. The lowest of the lowest would be the ones to wash someone's feet. That was their job. But Jesus, right, who is God, came down, and he was the one who served his disciples in that way, right? Humbled himself, washed his disciples' feet. This is also what he says to those aspiring to be leaders, to James and John, two of his disciples. They're kind of arguing and saying, hey, who can I be on the right side of you when you go to heaven? You know, I want my high position. And Jesus said this to them. He said, but it shall be so, not so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave for all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so that is what a heart of a leader who is a servant is, okay? Is someone who is willing to humble themselves, who kind of puts themselves along with the same people and to lead them in that way. This is a picture, you might have seen this before, about the difference between a boss and a leadership, right? A leader, a boss kind of sits there and kind of orders people to do things, but a leader is the one who actually gets down there, is in front, leading the people, so it's not just, you know, sitting up there and kind of just ordering people around, right? That's not what a leader is and what a servant leader is. A servant leader is somebody who leads. And so perhaps for yourself, you guys can think about it, you know, am I somebody who, you know, maybe isn't always out there in front, isn't this person in public and trying to, you know, rah-rah, get people to move, but you serve, and you serve, and you lead by example, right? You kind of do it where you're the one to kind of show people, hey, okay, this is how ministry is done, or this is how to care for someone. Let me take you under my wing and kind of do it for you and kind of show you how it's done, right? This is what a servant leader is. They lead by example. So again, think about it. Maybe you're one of those who lead by example, and that is a servant leader, okay? So we have a shepherd, we have a servant leader, and the third one is a sage, okay? A sage, or a wise Gandalf the Grey, who's a wizard, okay? Someone who has a lot of knowledge. That's someone who possibly has gone through more life experience than others, right, who have been through it, who can kind of speak into people's lives. And so a good biblical example of this is Solomon, even though he was not so old. But Solomon was one when God had asked him, hey, you can have anything. What would you want? And he decided that he wanted wisdom, right? And so let's go ahead and look at that passage, okay? In Kings, 1 Kings 3, 5, 9, it says this, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you, and what I shall give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfastness to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and had not given him a son to sit on the throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. An inner servant is the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people too many to be numbered or counted by for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people? Here Solomon is. He's chosen to be king in line of David, and David is a great king. David has done so many great things for the nation of Israel, brought them up, and they're ruling. They're in the highest point of kind of Israel's, you know, their nation. And here he is. He's the successor, and he knows that it's tough to follow, right? Hard act to follow. And he's young, and there's all these people there that are looking to him. And so instead of asking for power, again, instead of asking for, you know, just rule with authority or whatever it is, he asks for wisdom. And he says, I can't do this, God, you know, on my own. Give me the ability to be able to just kind of see into the picture and to see and to know, discern what to do, what's good and right and wrong. And in the same way, there are people here in our room, I believe, who have the sage-like leadership, who have the ability to kind of know things, right? People might come to you, right, and they might ask you for kind of, hey, you know, what should I do, right, within my life, right? I'm going through this situation, you know, can you pray for me? And they'll come and they'll sit and they'll talk with them and they'll give them advice, right? Kind of like maybe like Lucy, maybe won't pay 5 cents, but like give you kind of advice for, you know, what do you need? And they can kind of look into people's lives and can kind of, you know, see, hey, this is the direction that maybe you should go in, or maybe you should do this or not. So people who are leaders, who are sages, have this ability to kind of discern what's right, what's wrong, maybe speak into people's lives again, where their needs are. They can say, hey, okay, let me help you in this way to make a better, wise decision. So perhaps you're one of those people. People like to come to you for advice, and you have, you know, a good wealth of knowledge, and you can kind of see, you know, what God is doing in their life, and to be kind of speak into that and say, hey, God is possibly doing this and you should do that. So maybe there's some of you guys who are sage leaders. Mm-hmm. So we have a shepherd, we have a servant, we have a sage, and the fourth one is a sentinel. Okay, a sentinel. What is a sentinel? A sentinel is a guard. Okay, someone who is a guard. This is from X-Men there. They were kind of bad if you watch X-Men Days of Future Past. A sentinel in the biblical sense is a good guard, okay? And someone who is able to see sin and kind of call it out. And an example of this is the prophet Nathan. The prophet Nathan spoke to David when David had sinned, when he had committed adultery against Bathsheba. And he was the one who kind of stepped in and called him out. And let me go ahead and read this passage as well, okay? Oh, no, sorry, this is a different passage. Also talking about people who are sentinels. So let me go ahead and read this. Ezekiel 3:1-6. The word of the Lord came to me, and he said, Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land take from a man among them, and make them their watchmen. And if he sees a sword coming upon the land, and blows a trumpet, and warns the people, then anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take the warning, and the sword comes down and takes his away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken the warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Kind of a serious tone here. And what God is saying is, okay, there are people who wanted to be leaders, who Jesus is calling to be leaders, or God is calling to be leaders, who are watchmen on the wall, okay? People who stand guard against the people. And what their role is as leaders is to stand watch. And when they see danger coming, when they see the enemy approaching and the sword coming, they're supposed to, you know, blow the horn, warn the people, hey, watch out, danger is coming, arm yourselves, you know, protect yourselves, you know, hide your women, your children, okay? All these things, right? Do these things, right? Because danger is coming. And that's an important role for a leader to have. And so these are people who are willing to call out people's sins. And I kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago, how I'm not one of these people. I don't like conflict. I don't like calling out people's sin. But perhaps, you know, you are. You're one of those people who are very aware. I would say this. You're aware of kind of what's going on in the world and, again, in people's lives. And when you see them kind of stray, when you see them kind of starting going off on the wrong path, that you're, you know, you love them enough, you're bold enough to kind of take them by the hand and say, hey, you know what? You're doing something that isn't pleasing to God. You know, you need to repent. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to turn back, come back to God. They do it in a loving way, but they don't hold back either, right? They kind of call them out. And perhaps some of you guys are people who are like sentinels, who are watching out for the church, watching out for danger. This can also be watching out for false teaching and heresy, right? That's also danger against the church, against its people, and the kind of warning people against these things. And so that's another type of leader, okay, is one who is a sentinel. Sentinel, sage, servant, shepherd. The next one we have is a visionary. And these next two I'm going to combine because they're very similar. But somebody who is a visionary. And a leader, I think a lot of times when we think about leaders, we also think about them as being visionaries, like people who can see kind of the big picture, right, and kind of cast this vision. Now, it's not just about casting a vision, but it's about being able to bring people from point A to point B. So it's being able to understand kind of the situation of, hey, this is where the church is, or this is where the people are, and we're not where God wants us to be. God wants us to be over here. And so I'm able to kind of see that, to cast that vision, and to get people to kind of come along with me and do these things. That's what a visionary is, right? And so, again, perhaps some of you guys have a visionary kind of a picture. This works hand in hand with the next type of leader, which is somebody who is a steward. And these two are similar in that a steward is somebody who's able to take what they have and be able to maximize that potential, okay? So they're able to kind of see where people are and see what their gifts and their strengths are and kind of put people in places where they can best succeed. I think I have to go back to the Warriors, so go Warriors, going to the conference finals here. But they, you know, Steve Kerr, their head coach, I believe, is somebody who is a good steward, who's able to kind of manage their team. A lot of egos, a lot of players, and there are some players, if you guys follow the Warriors, David Lee, who has been an all-star, two-year all-star, two-time all-star, who used to be a starter, he is now on the bench and sometimes does not play, right? And same thing with Andre Iguodala, another player who is an all-star, a veteran, but able to ask him to, hey, you know, this is your role, this is how I see our team work best, and I'm going to put you guys in positions for you guys to succeed. And he's been able to do that, and I think a reason why the Warriors have been so successful. But again, this is what, in biblical terms, this is what a leader can do as well. Right? Somebody who kind of sees the bigger picture, sees the people, and says, okay, I'm going to put you in this place because you have this gift. You have a gift of teaching. So I encourage you to teach. Right? You have the gift of exhortation to encourage people. So let me put you in this place where you can maximize that gift, that potential that you have. Right? And they can be able to do that. That's what they do. A steward does this. And a good biblical example of this is Nehemiah. Nehemiah, if you read through the book of Nehemiah, he is rebuilding the wall. And he's able to first see a vision of, hey, the wall needs to be rebuilt. He has his heart to do that, and he says, hey, we need to do this. And then he takes what he has. He takes the people, and he says, okay, I'm going to put you here. You guys are going to be the ones to gather the wood. Okay, you guys are going to be the watchmen. You guys, important role. You guys be the watchmen against the enemy. You guys are going to build this gate. You guys are going to do this thing. And he kind of manages these people, puts them in a place where they can succeed, and the wall gets rebuilt, right? And so, again, perhaps you're one of these type of leaders, okay? A visionary slash steward, somebody who sees kind of the bigger picture of things, who kind of sees where, hey, possibly where this church needs to go, where our congregation needs to move towards, and you can speak into that, say, hey, I see this, and this is how to get there, right? Again, it's not just casting out visions, oh, I think we should do this, and I don't know how to do it, but let's do it, right? But visionaries have a plan, right? And they can execute it, they get people involved, and then that, they work really well, again, with the steward, who can be able to manage these people and put them in places to succeed. The next two I'm going to also lump together, okay? And the first one is a sponsor, okay? The leader as a sponsor. What is a sponsor? If you guys ever watch any sports games or listen to it on the radio or whatever, they always do, this game is sponsored to you by, and they list these ads, right? All these people, right? Whatever it is, Ford and, you know, Comcast or Google or whatever it is, right? All these different companies, and they sponsor it, right? They support whatever program that is, right? If you guys ever watch Sesame Street, sometimes at the real end, there'll be, this episode is brought to you by the letter A, right? Sponsored to you by the letter A. So in a sense, a sponsor leader is someone who supports a ministry, okay? Who supports something that is going on. What they do is they are able to build up that ministry. They support that ministry, they sponsor it, they kind of get involved, and they build it up so that it can be handed off to somebody else to take care of. Right? So that's what a good sponsored leader is somebody who is involved with these ministries and able to kind of build them up. And they work really hand in hand with people who are sowers. Okay? And sowers, instead of investing in ministry, they are investing in people, okay? And so sowers are those who grow people, who help people come together and grow them up, build them up, okay? There's a couple of people. Jesus, obviously, again, him and his disciples are one of them. But this is also Acts. In Acts 11, 25, 26, we see Barnabas and Paul do this. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were the first to be called Christians. And so you see here, Barnabas is one person who does that, right? Who's able to kind of come in, see this church, see their needs, and hey, I'm going to plug myself into this ministry, build it up. Now that you guys are ready to go, and then kind of move on to the next ministry and help build that up, okay? So we have a sponsor slash sower. Again, I said Jesus is somebody who's like that. Him and his posse here, like they're walking out, like they're in a movie. They're in a movie. But Jesus did that with his disciples, right? He discipled them, right? Discipleship is a big part of the whole sower type of a leadership. Really investing in people's lives, right? Getting to know them and building up, teaching them what it means to be a Christian. Really quick, this is a little bit different than a shepherd. A shepherd leader is someone who cares for them and when people are hurting, that's kind of their heart. A sower is someone who kind of invests in kind of building up, raising up new leaders. That's kind of what a sower leader is. Okay? So perhaps, again, you are one of these people, that you are those who invest in people. You love to kind of get involved in ministry, in people's lives, and to kind of build that up. Okay? Eight things. All right, we've gone through a lot. I'll recap them at the real end. But the last one here is a patient. And this one is different than the rest, which is why I put it at the end. And this is the idea that leaders are also patients in this idea of a doctor-patient relationship. Leaders are also patients. A lot of times, again, when we come and we think about what is a leader, we think about the person who's up front, right? The person who is in charge, who is taking ownership, who's taking that leadership, right? Who's leading the charge, right? That's what we think about leaders. But the reminder here from this study that we went through was that it's not about them, but it's really that God is the one who leads. And God is the one who oftentimes takes people who are broken, who are, you know, useless, and he uses them, and he makes them into leaders. He builds them up. I like this passage from Psalm 103, 105. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with goodness, that your youth is renewed like the eagle." And I think this is a good reminder for all of us that, you know what? None of us have to be perfect. All right? God is the one who loves to call and use broken people. If you guys kind of go through just looking at the Bible and looking at all the leaders, there's a lot of kind of messed up people, a lot of people who've done, you know, who are not perfect, right? Here's a list. You guys might have seen this before as well. But Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was depressed. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. But God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And this idea that God can use each one of you. So for you guys, perhaps you guys might think about yourselves and be like, "I'm not a leader," right? Leader is, again, somebody else, right? But God can use each one of you to lead. And there's a lot of different ways that God can use you to lead, right, as we looked at before. I also like this kind of quote. It says, "Church isn't a museum for good people. It's a hospital for the broken." And we are all broken people, pastors included, leaders included. They're all broken people. And yet, that's what God is. God is the doctor. We are the patients. He is the one who cares for us, who loves us, who heals us, who forgives us, who redeems us, who gives us a crown of glory. And this is who God is. And God loves to do this. He loves to use each one of us, again, to build up his church, to build up his people. All right? So these are nine different types of images of leadership. Okay? So again, we have a shepherd, we have a servant, we have a sage, a sentinel, a visionary, a steward, a sponsor, a sower, and a patient. And hopefully, as you guys, again, were listening to this, you could say, yeah, you know, I see myself as one of these things, right? I have been able to lead in one of these ways, right? God has used me in this way. And for you guys to embrace that and to continue to put that into practice, to say, hey, I'm going to keep leading, I'm going to keep serving God in this way. All right? Let me go ahead and pray, and then worship team can come. Father God, we want to thank you again that you have called us to serve you. And we thank you that you use broken people. You use people who are imperfect. I know for myself, I am far from perfect, and I am always amazed that you would call somebody like me into ministry. And yet you love it. You love to use broken, messed up people, imperfect people to do your work. And we thank you that we can serve you. And so we pray that you would be the one who leads us, and that we would follow after you, and that we would continue to lead others as well. And so, yeah, continue to just watch over us and bless us and guide us. We love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.